Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning. Welcome to you and our radio audience. We're so thankful for you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for it's our purpose to speak only things that are found in God's holy and inspired Word. That's why, if at any time you have a question or a comment concerning something that we say on the program, we'd like to hear from you, and those comments can be either favorable or not favorable. Also, if you maybe you're having a Bible question or a Bible subject that you're studying and would like for us to spend time and study it on the program, we'd certainly give consideration to any Bible question or any Bible subject that you might have on your mind. But again, we would need to hear from you. You can contact me at the address given by the announcer, or better yet, contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. You know, one of the effects of being a Christian is that we are assured that we will suffer for righteousness' sake. That's 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. And this suffering may come in the form of either physical or verbal abuse. In America, we are, at least at this point in time, protected from physical abuse by the laws of the land. We're not likely to be beaten, maimed, jailed, or killed because of our faith. We're more likely to be misrepresented, to be ridiculed, or otherwise unfairly treated by unbelievers or sometimes false brethren. And two, our freedom of speech. That allows us to freely say or write anything, almost anything that we desire. This gives us freedom then to openly preach the gospel, both by mouth and by pen, without penalty of the law. We would not want it any other way. However, the same freedom of speech also gives those who oppose us the legal right to revile us, and as Jesus said in Matthew 5:11, to say all manner of evil against us falsely. You know, lies and misrepresentations hurt, as do really all other forms of verbal abuse. And what is the Christian's best defense against such abuse? In the third chapter of 1 Peter, it was written during a time of stress and persecution. He talks about the fiery trials that shall come upon you. But I believe that third chapter gives us, as Christians, the answer to that question. What is our best defense against such abuse? I want us to begin our reading in 1 Peter chapter 3 and read verses 13 through 16. Who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. What we see here is one defense that we can have against abuse is a good life. See, the rhetorical question is asked in verse 13, who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? You know, God has a way of turning that which was meant for our harm into something that is really good for us. Joseph told his brothers that the harm that they had done to him was meant for good by God.
Here's what Joseph said to his brothers in Genesis 50, verse 20. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive.
So those who hate evil and do good, they have the benefit of the watchful eyes and opened ears of God for assurance and for their protection. In 1 Peter 3, we started a reading at verse 13, but let's go back up and read verses 11 and 12.
Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. But the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil.
See, whatever harm anyone can do to us is only temporary if we are followers of that which is good. Not only does a good life please the Lord, it's also respected by fair-minded people. But another defense against abuse that we see here in 1 Peter 3 is a God-honoring heart. See, rather than being fearful and troubled in heart,
as verse 14 talks about, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Do not be afraid of the threats, nor be troubled. But then we are admonished in verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts.
And that is sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord, is the way it's rendered in the American Standard Version. So we need to let faith in Christ as Lord, and Lord always means ruler, we need to let that replace any disturbance in our heart that's caused by anyone who would harm us. We come to realize that if God be for us, who can be against us? Like it's stated in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. And being constantly aware that Christ is Lord over all powers in heaven and earth helps us to endure whatever the wicked world may throw our way. Another defense against abuse is to be ready, to have a ready answer for the reasonable hope that we have. See, a Christian that's armed with a ready answer or a defense has a huge advantage over all that would oppose him.
Let's look again at verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you.
He's not a phantom pipe dream with no reasonable basis. It is reasonable expectation. And it's based on objective evidence. There is reasonable, objective evidence of the resurrection of Jesus, of his ascension into heaven. And that serves as a forerunner for Christians. See, there's reasonable, objective evidence that the New Testament that tells of our hope is what it claims to be. And that is the Word of God. And so we are assured of the accuracy of the conditions that must be met for us to realize that hope. See, in the midst of the abuse of being persecuted, whether it be physical or verbal, we have this hope. And the Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 6, verse 19, that this hope is both sure and steadfast, and it serves as an anchor for our souls. So being able to defend that hope not only helps those to hear our defense, but it helps us to cement our own faith in the evidence of that hope. See, knowing what one believes and why he believes it gives great strength in a person living his life in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation that we live.
as it's stated in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. But another defense against abuse is a meek and a reverent attitude. You know, we're also told that the defense of our hope must be given. Notice, let's read again, verse 15 of 1 Peter chapter 3. He says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks at you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." Now this means that arrogance, cockiness, it's out of order in the giving of the defense of our faith. But meekness does not mean weakness, nor does this fear mean ordinary fearfulness. Friends, meekness is what we sometimes call the heart of a servant, a heart with the willingness and the moral courage to serve both God and man as God directs. There are two people in the scriptures that are told, that we're told that we're meek. The first time it was mentioned at Moses. There was no man meeker in his time than Moses. And of course, remember Jesus. Jesus says, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." Were those two men weak? No. So we must understand, meekness has nothing to do with weakness. Meekness has everything to do with more courage. And that's what Moses had. And that's what our Lord had. To do what was right, regardless of what was going on around him. And to have that moral courage, to both serve God as God directs. And then this fear that we're to have in giving the defense. The fear of this verse is a fear of awe and reverence for God and for his way. See, that kind of an attitude will certainly disarm those who would abuse us more than our retaliating, which is always a tendency for us to want to do. In Romans 12, let's read what we see in verse 20. "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." Now, retaliating never does work. But the attitude of meekness and fear, the moral courage, and the awe and the respect, reverence for God and his word. That's what they need to see. And then another defense that's mentioned in verse 16, when he says, "Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those that revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed." Having a good conscience. Friends, that adds more strength to one's defense of his hope. One can have a good conscience and be wrong, like Paul did before he became a Christian. Remember, he said in Acts 23 and verse 1, during all the time that he was persecuting the church and doing everything that he could to destroy the name and the influence of Christ, he said, "I've lived before God with all good conscience." So yes, one can have a good conscience and be wrong, but one cannot be right without a good conscience. A good life with a God-honoring heart, ready to give a defense of a reasonable hope in a meek and reverent spirit, coupled to a good conscience, will bring to shame those that speak evil against us as evildoers. Friends, what better defense can one have in troubled times? The time is up. We thank you for listening and hope that you'll join tomorrow. Till then, we bid you a pleasant good day. And now return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.